You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
COVID Converted Edition number 3, Equity and Inclusion in Online Course Design. That short teaser was from the Summer Concerto from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. So stay tuned for the full piece at the end of this podcast. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by D2L. You may know their main product, the Brightspace Learning Management System. I, of course, would only accept sponsorship from companies and products that I'm very fond of. So please check out their website
at d2l.com/pulsepodcast to learn more.
In the interest of full disclosure, my institution, the University of the Sciences, uses D2L Brightspace. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to the things we talk about on my show notes website at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. This special COVID-converted edition audio and video podcast series is in response to the impact of COVID-19 on the way we live, learn, and work. Teachers all over the world have been thrown into teaching their COVID-converted courses online. This series will focus on moving from this emergency remote teaching and learning to more thoughtfully prepared online learning experiences. This episode is an abstract of a PADLA, that's the Pennsylvania Distance Learning Association, webinar presented by Carrie O'Donnell, the founder of O'Donnell Learn, and Brett Christie, director of Learning Experience Design for O'Donnell Learn. You can listen, but it might be better to actually watch because we will have all their slides. Learn about the principles of universal design for learning, quality versus equity versus inclusion, how to establish a sense of community and belonging, ensuring multiple means of representation, ensuring multiple means of engagement, and ensuring multiple means of expression. During the actual webinar, the presenters use Padlet extensively to make it a very engaging presentation. During the presentation, they covered several technologies which I'm fond of, for example, Learning Glass, Blackboard Ally, Padlet, of course, which they use extensively, VoiceThread, and of course, it was delivered via Zoom. So I encourage you to save your seat for the next free PADLA Equity and Inclusion in Online Course Design webinar. You can participate and hear the full story when you sign up for the actual webinar. Visit padla.org to learn more. Without further ado, here's the abstract of the recent webinar.
So I'm going to get started now. I want to introduce myself. My name is Carrie O'Donnell. I have been in learning design for 30 years, since I was a baby or teenager, something like that. I started O'Donnell Learn when I was in my 20s, and because I felt like technology was going to change the way the world learns. And it took a few years, that was 1990, for technology changing the way the world learns to catch up. But certainly COVID-19 is a huge forcing function for really having to embrace technology, or distance and virtual, and the technology that enables that in the higher ed world. So my company has been around for a long time, and we work with a lot of higher ed institutions. I started it as a virtual company, and we have 300 design professionals, many of them, most of them on some activity related to design, media, creating, and supporting faculty, supporting institutions to create learning. And we're really very, very much believers of partnering with institutions. So I want to turn it around to somebody who I'm so thrilled is part of our team. I met him years ago when he was at Cal State, and he's really been involved in universal design for learning and equity and inclusion and creating programs at Cal State to improve the learning experience. And so here's Brett Christie.
Great. Thanks, Carrie. And yes, I've worked in the Cal State system the past 25 years before coming to O'Donnell Learn. And as Carrie mentioned, extensive experience with universal design for learning, putting on faculty training across our system for faculty and also for staff. Also working in quality assurance for online, blended, flipped, and in classroom technology augmented courses. Thrilled to bring, you know, quarter century of expertise working across various campuses in our CSU system, and now working at O'Donnell and working with many different types of partners. So excited to talk to you about a topic today that's really dear to my heart.
Okay, I'm just going to start with a little bit of some philosophy and some of the reasons that we care so much. I mean, there's many reasons we care so much about learning, making learning equitable, inclusive. But I want to give a little background. Our firm, you know, because we have so many professionals and all around the world, and we have service so many institutions, and each has its own personal mission and flavor and brand and needs and culture, we work really hard to create kind of an inclusive environment and some tenets around our learning so that our clients and our partners always know what they're going to expect from us. So we call this purposeful learning design. And it's all about learning is for people. You know, we feel that effective learning poises both students and faculty for success. And I want to say a lot about faculty because learning is as much about the instructor as is it about the learner. And then we also ground everything we do in evidence-based practices. And we feel like learning experiences should embrace best practices. And so we've, over the years, tested, applied, and validated the practices that are backed by evidence and learning science. And then the other thing is, for years, long before this was the buzzword, we've really paid a lot of attention to equity and inclusion. We feel like the path to great learning includes every learner and provides alternative pathways for different learners. So we were really thrilled to have Brett join us because he's such an expert on this. And this has already been our mantra for years. I won't get into the last bottom three things on this slide, but we just feel like it's really important that you center the learning experience in learning's about people, it's for people, it's people to people. It's about active learning, learn by doing. And we're big believers in backward design as well. We've been working with Brett on a model that we can use to create a shared understanding of what is effective online instruction. What we did is, we kind of turned our purposeful learning philosophy into action with this. And it's a framework that we're calling the purposeful learning framework. And it starts with eight elements. And you can see these elements, they're all about the elements of a course and of delivering a learning experience, but they're also all about helping learners succeed and about equity and inclusion. So we incorporate these into everything we do, from planning to designing to evaluating courses and programs. So when we work with a faculty member, we sit down with these elements and say, well, you know, which of these are really important? Which do you need help on? And how do we get to a place of equity and inclusion? And beneath these eight elements are a set of objectives that we have adapted and adopted. And they're based on the quality online learning and teaching objectives. I don't know if any of you are familiar with CULT, but Brett was very instrumental at Cal State in creating CULT in 2011. It was revised in 2017, and it has been tested and validated with thousands of faculty and hundreds of courses that have been certified and peer reviewed. We wanted to kind of ground this conversation in elements of effective learning, and then let's start talking about the learners. So I'm going to turn it over to Brett.
Great. Thanks, Carrie. And as you notice on the bottom right, you'll see equity and inclusion. But one thing to note quickly is that it's not something that resides in a box. We have some checkpoints there, but equity and inclusion, you'll find through our discussion today, is sort of all over the design. Okay, so we're going to do our first Padlet, or as Kyle and I found out, Zoom likes to convert it to Palet. We're going to jump into our first Padlet here, and we want to know from you what your greatest struggles have been with equity and inclusion in online courses. If you're an instructor, then that's your direct experience. If you're a designer, then it's working with instructors. If you're more in administration or director role, then what has it been like for you in supporting that or seeing some of the struggles that take place? So we have three columns set here that are each linked to key research elements that we've found related to equity and inclusion. So you can jump in the yellow box and sort of comment general, or jump in one of the three columns related to those research statements. So we'll talk about universal design for learning as a framework for greater equity and inclusion. The background on universal design for learning, it comes from the Center for Applied Special Technology. That's CAST, CAST.org. And those folks developed UDL well over 25 years ago. My personal experience, I stumbled upon UDL as I was running a master's program in instructional design. And I was looking at the ADDIE model for course development for design, and just found it didn't really have anything that addressed inclusivity and equity and accessibility. So I came across UDL, and it just opened up a whole new realm for me as an instructor, but also working with others as a faculty developer. CAST has developed these UDL principles that we'll jump into in a moment with learning networks research in mind. They've worked a lot with the Graduate School of Education at Harvard and some of the research that's been done there. So it is by design based on research and how people learn, and then being able to build experiences accordingly and being able to reach the largest group of students possible. So with these recognition learning networks, we have the representation principle, the what of learning. So it's how you present your material and how you do that in varied ways. You have multiple resource types, but also within those resource types, do you have different representations of different types of learners, different types of users? How are you varying, and how are you having a multi-cultural representation through your materials? And then the second principle of engagement, that's the why of learning. That's that affective domain that I think is just underutilized and underappreciated. I think a lot of our teaching can tend to be content-driven and not so much about the learner experience. So again, going back to learning by doing, we'll talk about that a few times today. But this is really about engaging the learner, enabling them, connecting to them, and providing agency for them through those experiences. The last one, action expression, really has to do with assessment type experiences. So how are you providing varied opportunities for students to demonstrate what they've learned? Are you just doing it one way and tapping into certain types of knowing and certain types of learners, or are you able to provide different types of experiences? Are you able to provide authentic assessment, formative, summative assessments? And so we'll look at some of those examples as we kind of sweep across these principles in a little more detail. So related to the first one, and just setting a grounding about these principles a little bit more, usually we use a visual example. And some of you might be familiar with this one here, probably the more, you might say, Americanized version that focuses on a baseball stadium. This is a version I came across in the last year that's actually from Saudi Arabia that they have adapted. So I kind of thought that was a great version to show there. So looking at the first box here, we really see a setting where it's assumed that everyone will benefit from the same type of support. Or as I think about accessibility, the same type of access point. And so we think we're treating people equally because they're each getting the same experience. But an easy thing to think about is think about stairs as an access point. For some people, stairs, no problem, especially a small set of stairs, not a thought. More and more stairs, it's a, you know, sort of a barrier and a nuisance to everyone. But for some people, just even a small amount of stairs is going to be an absolute barrier. It's not going to give them access to the experience that they need. So what do? Is sometimes we think, okay, we want to be more equitable, so we're going to provide these different types of accommodations. So in this image, you can see where some boxes have been stacked for the user that was lower in height and now can see over the fence. It's great that they now have access, but it's sort of a reactive stance. It's not by design, and you're treating people differently by doing this, and you're signaling them out, and you're forcing them to have to do something different. So this could be, if you think of an example of having an inaccessible PDF, or an instructor has scanned an article from a journal. They've now got this image-based PDF file, they post it, and they figure, okay, everybody's got access to the article, it's in the LMS, go. But now you have a student who comes across that and has to use a screen reader, let's say. They now have to go to disability support services and go through multiple steps to be able to have access. So it's inefficient, it's reactive, and in some ways disrespectful to the user. And then the last scenario is where, by design, you've just eliminated barriers. So we're going to take you into another Padlet before going deeper into examples. So given the levels of access and equity described, how can you relate to this how can you relate this to the experience of online learners? You'll see the three white boxes that are set up there. Those are meant to kind of represent the three scenarios that I described on the previous slide. Step one is establishing that sense of community and belonging. So here again, you see the eight elements over to the right. We're really going to focus on course overview and introduction briefly, a little bit about student interaction and community, of course, related to equity and inclusion. So let's go into examples that'll load here quickly. You have access to this as you get the slides from us later on in a follow-up email. So this is just an example of doing a really effective course overview and welcome video. So she's got her welcome page, and she's got not just her modularized content, but she's actually created images for each of those modules that relates to the topic of the module. So she does an amazing job giving this narrated overview video of what students need to do to get started. And she does it in a personalized way, which is important. And this is something I snuck in on the team overnight, basically, is I think it's really good to model on your syllabus diversity statements such as this one. But you really want to welcome all students to the course and let them know that that's your philosophy. And of course, some of them, yes, may need support off to the side, and they can be directed toward different types of supports. But you as an instructor are there to, the best of your ability, help all students of all backgrounds and abilities while still maintaining your course learning outcomes. UDL is never about lowering your standards. Okay. And then on learner connectedness, this is a survey we created just in the last week, looking at some of the different surveys that are out there, trying to gauge what students' backgrounds and experiences are like. We came up with this survey and called it the Learner Connectedness Survey. So this is just a screenshot of one section, but on the left there, you can see the five categories or dimensions. So name and identity, you know, just having them confirm their name, their preferred first name, in some cases, if they want to help with the pronunciation, their pronouns, things like that. Individuation and affirmation. So trying to gather a little bit more information about the student and their background experiences, and also their goals through the course and goals beyond the course. Logistical considerations. So some of the things you see here, are they on campus or off campus? That's going to maybe be decided by COVID a little bit. Their mode of transportation, the amount of hours they work, access to technology, bandwidth, all those different things. Taking the pulse is really about how they feel coming into the course. Are they feeling strong and confident? Do they have anxiety? So it's really kind of doing that mindset type check-in. And then connection points is more of an open-ended area where they can share anything else that they want to about themselves coming into the course. And this all relates to something that stood out to me, and I'm sure many of you saw this in early April. This was right after the majority of campuses sort of went into shutdown mode as far as on-campus activities, and some were figuring out what to do as far as salvaging the rest of the spring term. So this was an image that stuck out that looked at two vastly different experiences of students, one who is sheltering in place in a vacation home near the coast. The other student on the right is having to help the family with the food truck and, you know, and is working mostly through mobile and has limited access and limited resources and limited time. So we have this really broader split in the equity or digital divide through the pandemic. And then looking at step two, we want to ensure multiple means of representation. So again, how as an instructor are you representing the course content? It's hopefully not just text-based, textbook-based. Hopefully you're having more visual resources, more interactive resources, maybe even all the to the extent that bundles it all together into more of an adaptive learning experience. And that's one opportunity where I can point out that these three principles of UDL aren't entirely silos. So one example that we've been really successful with in course redesign, you know, across our CSU system in my position back then, was looking at something called Learning Glass. But with Learning Glass, the instructor can actually get in front of a clear screen, a Learning Glass, and can actually do a live lecture, or it can be a recording. And so if they're doing the lecture and they're actually doing the diagramming, the annotating, they're verbally explaining, they're having more eye contact with the students, you've got captions that pop up on these, you can do that in real time or in post-production. So this can be used in different types of settings that are either face-to-face, high flex, hybrid, or fully online. This is really powerful stuff. It's a much more engaging way to deliver that content, where in the spring we saw a lot of very dry 90-minute lectures in Zoom. I saw Ally come up earlier, which was nice. Blackboard Ally. So Ally was a plugin developed for learning management systems. Blackboard acquired it, but it still works across all the major learning management systems. And it's a plugin that campuses can adopt. And Blackboard Ally, once adopted and turned on, can scan the instructor's resources that they've uploaded for accessibility. And at the same time that it's scanning them for accessibility, it's also creating alternate formats for students to access. So in the scanning for accessibility part, if you look over the right, you see these little dashboard meters that come up, and instructors will get a course accessibility score, and they'll get a corresponding, you know, icon there with the needle, either it's red, orange, green, or you know, dark green for the best. And instructors will get that percentage score, and Ally will actually tell them in what order of priority they should change their materials or revise their materials to be more accessible to make the greatest change in the percentage. And so you'll get faculty and faculty groups and even within departments that are kind of doing this leaderboard challenge of wanting to move that needle. And I don't want to be red, I want to be orange at least, or move to light green or something like that. So it's a way where faculty can do a self-check, a department can do a check, or as an institution, you can do a broader check and get really good data on the accessibility of the courses. But what's powerful about this related to UDL is the students get the alternate version. So let's say a Word document, that is then converted to an MP3 file for students. And one of the great examples we had from one of our campuses in Northern California was this working mother who was commuting 75 miles each way from Redding down to Chico, and, you know, working and taking care of family and taking courses. Well, in having those audio formats, she was then able to do that 2.5 hours round trip as her study time and be able to keep up. And her statement was, "Thank you, you gave me my life back." So that was really powerful for her. Okay. Multiple means of engagement. So this is where we're going to be looking at student interaction and community, facilitation and instruction. So that role of the instructor to make those things happen. And then technology, what are those elements that can help drive this? And of course, how does it relate to equity and inclusion? So this is a graphic I came across recently that made me reflect upon, you know, our scenario again with the pandemic and emergency remote instruction. And looking back at spring, we had a lot of instructors who quickly jumped to either doing full-on Zoom lectures for anywhere from an hour to seminars that might be 2.5 hours, and not doing a whole lot else, not able to make it more engaging and interactive, not doing side Padlets or side Google Forms or what have you, or creating Google Docs on the fly in groups. So you had these high bandwidth scenarios where students had to have good, stable broadband to be able to participate, even if they were doing those more engaging things. And then you had the other extreme, maybe lower left, where instructors were just dumping more and more content into the LMS. You know, oh, we can't meet as a class, so read more. Here's more articles. You know, we're going to pile this on you. And then, by the way, we're going to give you this high stakes exam at the end and you know, hope everything goes well for you. So typical online discussions are your threaded discussions that happen in Canvas or Blackboard or others. And instructor posts a prompt and students are expected to engage and have a discussion. And hopefully it's meaningful and they're sharing back and forth. There might be a rubric, there might be guidelines. Hopefully those good practices are happening. But it's still kind of a flat experience. And so VoiceThread's been around for over 10 years. And I think it's been a powerful tool and still a lot of people, not a lot of people that know about it, but VoiceThreads allows you as an instructor to then put up a VoiceThread that might have a couple slides or a couple images. And then with your narration, you can tell them what the task is, what the discussion's about, and then what they're supposed to be doing. And then students can go to that VoiceThread, which can be embedded in your course page. They go to the VoiceThread and then they get your prompt and then they can do the response. And so on the lower right, you can see different modes of responding, which can be text, typing it in from whatever device, can be audio from multiple devices, can be from phone, can be a video comment. And those comments then get placed as thumbnails on the left and eventually on the right if it becomes crowded enough. They also become embedded on that player timeline. And those students can interact with those different comments and then, you know, again, go back and forth in a more engaging manner. Okay. And now talking about multiple means of expression is, how are you offering multiple means for students to demonstrate what they've learned? You know, whether that be in written formats, verbal, producing a project or product, multiple ways that you can do that. And then how are you taking equity and inclusion into consideration? So one example, I'll just say Zoom, because it's fairly popular now, of course, is how with Zoom, can you maybe have students do virtual poster presentations? One hard thing about doing poster presentations, well, a few things that are difficult about doing poster presentations is they can take up a lot of time. If you have 40 students, that may be a low number for some, but if you have 40 students, how are you going to have 40 presentations? That could take up weeks of your class time. But remember, in Zoom, you can do breakouts. So then maybe those 40 students are broken up into five rooms, or maybe it's eight rooms of five, enough so that you have an audience that can give feedback to those presenters. And what you can do is you've set up your rubric for this assignment. The students develop their poster presentation, whether it's research-based or otherwise. And they develop the poster presentation and they've prepared. And here you see, let's say, five students that are presenting this poster to the rest of the course or the breakout group. Now, the viewers that are watching the presentation, the peers, have a link to a Google form that's related to that rubric, and they can give feedback and ratings. And that happens in real time. And then once submit is clicked by the peers, the presenters then have instant feedback from their peers. You can have your rubric and compare it against the peer rubric and then give a final score. So it's a really good way of having this set up from a more dynamic learning experience that looks at multiple modes of expression and also gives better feedback to students. And also you can manage this across your Zoom instances in breakout rooms. So the other thing that I like about this, about equity, is that having poster presentations, like I've seen them traditionally done in courses where you may have them around the, let's say, the auditorium, if you're teaching in an auditorium, or maybe it's around the hallway or some sort of waiting area that's in a building for your discipline, is those are expensive to print out professionally because students want to kind of show it off the best as best as they can, because presentation is often a factor in the rubric. So students often have to go to Kinko's or elsewhere and spend $80, $100 or more to print off this full-size poster presentation. Instead, by doing it in Zoom, there's no printing. A student can spend zero, and just by using Google Slides, for example, and a template that's at let's say, 36 by 48, they can create this poster presentation with all of the different elements that they want that are text and visual. Okay, and to wrap up, we come back to the eight elements of effective learning. Again, not just for online, for all formats. So you have these eight elements, and we tried to put in some of these tag words that really kind of bring them to life. But again, across these eight elements in the background, we have a full set of 57 objectives across these eight elements. And then we have a smaller subset that are a core 25 that we have as a more manageable set where instructors and designers can kind of focus on those core 25 elements. And then for each of those elements, we actually provide a rubric and then exemplars. So we kind of have a 3-2-1-0 scale and a rubric for each of those levels for each objective. But then we also have a growing library of exemplars that we provide for each of those so that we can actually demonstrate and share exemplary practices. And hopefully this has been useful in terms of UDL, accessibility, equity, and inclusion. This is a lot to cover in under an hour, but hopefully this gave you a sampling across the different areas as related to the UDL principles and how we connect those to learner experiences, technology used, access, equity, all those things. Thanks, everybody. And what we'll do then is put us on the last slide where if you want to, you can snap the QR code or take down the tiny CC we have for access to the slides. Great. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Don't forget to go to padla.org and sign up for the full webinar coming up on September 10th. Stay tuned for the Summer Concerto by Vivaldi. And until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.